Welcome to the White House Planning Podcast. This is your host, Christopher Butler of Butler Planning Services. This is the third episode of a podcast series which will follow the meetings and events relating to implementation efforts of the Vision 2020 program. Over the next few months, city staff and planning consultants will be preparing a new zoning ordinance for the White House Town Center. This ordinance will regulate land development within a section of White House roughly situated along portions of Main Street and Highway 110, specifically the land east of Willingham, south of Wildcat, west of Bascom, and north of Heron. A map of the study area can be found on the city website by following the Vision 2020 link. As usual, the project blog is a useful place to access information about the project. Schedules, announcements, and supplemental info are delivered through this site. The URL is whitehouseplan.blogspot.com. This episode is the first half of the advisory committee meeting, which took place June 30th. In this recording, the participants reviewed the survey results from the June 2nd meeting. The consultant team also led a discussion regarding the number of zoning districts the town center should have. This discussion also involved the boundary of the districts. Unfortunately, the team had a technical problem with the audio for this meeting. As a result, episode 3 and 4 will not be available in stereo, and listeners may have some difficulty understanding the voices. The team made every effort to ensure that the available audio is as clear as possible under these conditions. Full recordings were also made by the city staff, if necessary. If you have questions or comments you would like addressed on this podcast or before the advisory committee, please feel free to contact the consultant team. You can send email comments to whitehouseplan@gmail.com. Also feel free to record audio questions or feedback and send them via email. The planning consultants can be reached by calling 979-777-7794. That's 979-777-7794. This has been Christopher Butler of Butler Planning Services. On behalf of the city staff, officials, and Plan Advisory Committee, I encourage each of you to participate in the ongoing process to implement the Vision 2020 Comprehensive Plan.
Meeting started. It's about 6:34 on Monday, June the 30th. You'll stand with you, please, for an invocation and the Pledge of Allegiance. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to come together to take care of the city's business. I pray that you'll give us the wisdom and the insight. We thank you for the citizens of our city that have come out tonight to help us gather input into what they would like their city to become. I pray that you be with us through this meeting and on our way home. These things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. This is the second of several meetings that we've had where we're attempting to get input from the citizens and the business owners, especially the town center, to give some ideas and direction for writing the new zoning ordinance. We hope you'll be vocal. Tell us what you want. Tell us what ideas you have. And we'll try to get those incorporated into the new zoning ordinance. And into, in particular, the town center. I'm going to turn the meeting over to Christopher Butler from Butler Planning. He has accomplished a lot. We have a website for you to go and blog if you pursue. Inclined to do that, see what other people have had to say about this process also. Mr. Chair.
Good evening. There are at least a few new faces, so part of the evening, especially the beginning, I'm going to spend a little time going over what we did last time. A few of what we're going to do tonight, go over the agenda. We're going to be going over the visual preference survey, which we took last time, and that was a bunch of different pictures that everybody looked at and rated on how much they thought it would fit the Town Center for White House. We also did a general preference survey, which was more big picture questions, which we'll also go over. We're going to look at the blog and the podcast, talk about a little bit of how you can stay involved in the project. We're also going to look at the study area, which is going to be the actual boundaries of what we're going to be applying this code to. So, and finally, we're going to hopefully get to a little bit of the code tonight. The goal, once we get through tonight, we're going to look at some tables that will actually make up the zoning ordinance. And next time we meet, which will be August 4th, you're actually going to see some visualizations of what that will look like, and the committee will actually have a zoning code in front of them, to forward on to the Planning and Zoning Commission. That's if we get through everything tonight. If we don't get through everything tonight, we might need to have another one of these. We'll see how it goes. This is the city's website. If you go to the actual city website itself, you'll see this Vision 2020 link. You can click on that, and it will take you to a page dedicated to both the comprehensive plan and this project itself. There's a link right here that says Town Center Blog. And if you go there, it's actually kind of nice. It sort of summarizes everything we talk about at the various meetings. You'll get some supplemental information, so media recordings tonight and every recording or every meeting that we have will be recorded and posted here, some videos and some extra things that you might have seen. The newspaper is another way to stay involved. Both the Tyler paper and the Tri-County Leader are doing a good job with keeping everybody at speed, I think. But you're always welcome to call me if you have a specific concern. I'm always open. There's my email is on the website, my phone number is on the website. Please, if you have concerns specific to property you own or dealing with, do feel free to call me. I don't want to talk too much on things that should be talked about in public with everybody, but I do want to be available and open if necessary. And we're going to start with the visual preference survey and the general preference survey recap. Okay, so I'm going to go through these really quickly because not everybody was here. But the general survey asked about 13 different questions. The first of them was very simple. How do you want the town center to be accessed? We had a couple of different options. It could be all pedestrian, so really it's more like a big city downtown in that it's kind of hard to park. You really need to be able to walk into it. Another option was very auto-oriented, more like a big shopping center, really. You're not necessarily going to walk from store to store. You're going to get in your car and drive to one store, get your back in your car and drive to another store. And then we have sort of a combination. So you drive into the district, but once you're there, you have really strong pedestrian connections, sidewalks, pathways. And as you can see, that's by and large 76% what people wanted to see. So that's really what we're going to be shooting for in the code itself. The next question was talking about, do you want a small downtown feel or do you want a big lot feel? And as you can see, strongly, almost 80 or 90% really wanted that small town feel. And when I talk about this, we had a question come up and I wanted to illustrate it a little bit better. If you look at the side of this drawing here, it's the same amount of building. But on the right-hand side, you see it's broken up into smaller lots. And on the left-hand side, it's kind of a big shopping center. And so the survey really pointed to the one on the right. So given that the town center has so many small lots, this is what we're moving toward. Just another view of the same sort of thing. Okay, question 4. Talking about zero lot line flexibility. Right now in the code, you have a pretty strong requirement for setbacks between buildings. Again, given that small lots that we have here, the relatively small amount of land to actually work with, the respondents felt pretty strongly that we needed to go to more flexibility there and allow buildings to get closer together. In some cases, zero lot lines, and in some cases, just smaller setbacks. This one was a little more controversial, perhaps. Strongly in the public involvement during the comprehensive plan, people constantly said, you got to have some kind of standards that are higher in certain areas of the city, and you got to stick to your guns. And the response was generally, the town center should be special, it should be slightly higher. Now, how high, we talked about quality, that'll be discussed tonight at the next meeting. We're not necessarily talking about the most expensive place on earth, but just maybe a step above what you generally find in White House.
Chris?
Yes.
I'm Michael Ogg. I'm with Austin Bank. How many acres is in what you're going to call the town center?
We'll be looking at a map here in a minute to actually talk about where we want to get that. But as far as the actual acreage, I'm not sure I can look it up for you, but I don't have a thought.
Approximately?
It's the bounds of north.
Well, I know where the bounds are, but
I don't have an approximate figure on it. I'm sorry. Question 6, talking about, again, coming back to sticking to your guns. A lot of times people felt like in the previous public involvement that the city would come up with something good and then sort of abandon it because they felt like they would lose a developer. So that's really what this question was talking about. I think the respondents, at least particularly the participants in the comprehensive plan, wanted the city to come up with something fair but stick to it. They wanted it to be black and white, the same for everybody, and really just not waver until it's time to actually look at your plan and look at your ordinance again. These next two questions are talking about height. And I asked two different questions. I said, under normal circumstances, how high do you want the buildings to get in White House or in the town center? And then on the next one, the question was, how high would you want them to get them, if this developer met everything we wanted? They've really been over backwards. Because one of the things we're doing with this code is putting in incentives. So maybe we're not going to say with the stick, you got to do this, but we're going to say, here's a carrot to do this because we want it. And so this is one of those things. The average height, again, just having it in the code, the here's what you can do if you meet none of the incentives, came out to be about 2.7. And you can see the distribution there. A lot of twos, but also quite a few in the 3 and 4.
But I mean, statistically, when you go with the 13, there's two Randall Robinson 205 East Main. Instead of saying 2.7, then it's pretty strong that 2 would be the number that you would use.
Well, we'll talk about that. Because you can make statistics work out any way you want. The other one, this is the ideal situation. You can see this has a lot more variability in there, but the average came out to about 3.8. And one thing to think about, this category here at 6, there were a couple of people that said higher than 6, and we lumped them into 6. Just because it really started to get to a point where you wondered if White House could support anything higher than that. So there were a few people that wanted even higher than 6 stories. Number 9, talking about mixed use and whether the city should allow it in the town center or not. You can see this was a total landslide here. Really did strongly support the idea of mixed use. And the idea that we're talking about here is mixed use in the same building or on the same site. So when I say mixed use, I don't simply mean a zoning district that could be anything. I mean a zoning district that says if you want a mixed use in the same building, you can. So you could have a dentist's office and an apartment, or a retail shop and a dentist's office. You get the idea. Another question that we ask is, what form should that take? Should it be different uses on the same site, or should it be buildings like you'd see in a typical downtown where it's actually mixed use in the same building? But people strongly supported the idea of letting a developer be more creative and do what fit the site the best. And here's another one of my crude examples. If you look at this site, this would be an example of vertical mixed use. You've got a whole bunch of different uses in that one building, and this is an example of segregated mixed uses. So I'm going to go to the street level view and see it a little bit better. The yellow being residential, the red being some kind of retail, and the peak supposed to be being some kind of office use. So again, the respondent said, let the developer pick. We're not so much concerned with that. We just want to have a cohesive feel in the district. Question 11, talking about whether or not the city should look into development incentives. Again, strongly supported this. I asked this question because I really wanted to get at the idea of should the city look at incentives in the code, but I think a lot of people took this to mean, should city do economic development? We certainly heard that a lot in the comp plan. It's not in the scope of this particular project, but it's something you might think about as a city and as officials down the road, how to actually stimulate some economic growth. Number 12, should city pursue partnerships, public-private partnerships with both the school district and private developers? And again, there's strong support of that idea. And last one, should the city use publicly owned sites to further the ideas of this plan? One of the examples I gave was reconfiguring parkland, reconfiguring city hall land, reconfiguring school land. This question is very vague, but it basically says, should the city take some of the resources it has now and at least consider how they might better serve the greater vision of both the comprehensive plan and this project? I'm going to go now to the visual preference survey. Are there any questions before I move on these particular survey results? Okay. Now, when we did this analysis, I flashed the pictures, and people had, sometimes they made me go soft, and I gave them a little longer, but I tried to keep it to about 15 seconds to really make a snap judgment. And people were rating on the form of the site, and that's really where the buildings are, how big they are, and they were also rating on the character. And the character is more how much you feel, so the facades, the types of trees you use, that sort of thing. So we're going to look at form first. Don't worry too much about distinctions here because you'll start to see a lot of similarities between the two lists. But the top rated example was this, the Sale Park in Bel Air. Some of the comments were they liked the sidewalk. It wasn't necessarily so boring. It kind of had a curve. They liked the historic feel of the lampposts. They liked the landscaping. Am I missing anything from anybody that was here before that stuck out on this one? Homie, this is an aerial photo of the same view, and I was standing right about here, not here, looking this way on that view. So you can see it's a park, but in the middle of the street. We won't necessarily have that ability to do things like that here, but there's ability to develop park and linear space, possibly on the railroad, possibly behind some of the buildings in the same way here. The second most popular was, this is Bossier City, Louisiana. This is a Joe's Crab Shack. Some of the things that people talked about, they liked the landscaping, they liked the fact that it wasn't just flat building, they liked the way it was broken up. Again, the landscaping, the streetscaping with the historic style lighting. The sidewalk isn't quite as bland and boring as maybe some. Did I miss anything people saw?
The width of the sidewalks is more. Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about that tonight. That's a 10-foot sidewalk, maybe more. It's hard to tell in this picture. This is a view, and I'm going to sort of pan the camera here. I was on a bridge looking into the waterfront, and I didn't do a very good job with the PowerPoint, but you kind of get the idea. It's looking out onto water. Not the most pretty view, but people flock to it. So. Third favorite as far as form, this is Sugar Land Town Center. And this addressed the need that came up frequently during the comp plan of having some sort of civic pride, a town square, reflecting history, but not necessarily being stuck on history. This is actually a very new building. I think it's maybe 5 years old, 5 or 6 years old. So it has a reflective quality of the old Imperial Sugar style of architecture, which was what Sugarland really, why it exists today. Same source of discussion, the landscaping, the sidewalks. This is the aerial view. I was standing right on this corner looking, over here on the sidewalk looking here. Interesting, when you look at the actual land uses, this is their city hall. But this is a hotel. This is retail space. This is apartments, more retail space. The parking is actually, probably see a little bit better on the bigger screens. The parking is in the middle of these block faces. Now, we wouldn't necessarily see structured parking here, but what you could very quickly start to see is parking lots behind the buildings as opposed to in front of the buildings to get more pedestrian welcomeness and openness. This is the same view of standing in the same place doing a panoramic. So you can see, again, apartments, retail, this is City Hall, and when I swing it around, more apartments, and parking lot. This is Arlington, Virginia. I think people like the way this could translate back into White House. You see a very similar look to some of the houses that are still here. So I believe people were viewing this as more of the periphery and some of the historic homes being continued to use. Again, sidewalks. This house was right here. I was standing in the street. So for everybody who doesn't see the later. This is BK City Hall. This is actually another one of those situations where it's the city hall in the middle of their development style. So if I go to the next picture, it's going to be a panoramic. And this is the city hall and the library. So they've got a little park there and other development. This is the Hill Country Gallery, I believe is the name of the actual mall around City Hall. Next example, and stop me if I forget to mention anything that people like. This is Sugarland again. Same sort of things. They like the sidewalks, like the landscaping, like the architecture of it. It didn't knock anybody over as far as being in your face, but it still has a classic feel and a welcoming feel. The aerial photo, and I was standing on this corner looking back toward the City Hall area. This is Rexona, New Mexico. And it really is better if you look on the little monitor on this one so it doesn't look quite so washed out. But people commented on the texture of it. It felt warm, felt historic. It actually is historic. This is one of the few that not only looks historic, but actually does have some history to it. I'll go to the aerial and place you. I was standing right about here, and this is the building. And you can see the different facades that they have. They still have some landscaping, even though some of it's in the back. I don't think that everybody so much loved the barrenness of this, but the appealingness of this park. Another site that people really seem to appreciate, this is a Walmart in Long Beach, California. And one of the interesting things about it is where I was taking the picture was on this parking garage right here and looking right here. Now, typical Walmart's going to have its entrance on the flat side of the building. But what this one did is actually have it on the corner. So they actually maintained a historic downtown type development, but they didn't sacrifice anything. It's still a full Walmart. You can still park for free. In fact, this is the parking lot. So just a normal Walmart parking lot, the buggy returns and all that. But they're respecting what the community wants to see as far as its vision and its former character. So not that Town Center White House is going to get a Walmart, but you are going to start to get franchise establishments. there are many ways to make those fairly rigid ideas of what they feel they want to be and fit them into a different type of character. I'm going to go back one and show you this Main Street feel. This, just to the left of this picture is the entrance to Walmart. So again, you don't feel quite as bad walking through a sea of parking and getting here. Again, the parking is free. It's in this case, it was subsidized by the city. The city built the garage, and once it's paid for through increment financing, through the taxes, will be turned over to the management district for this whole area. I believe this is the last one on the form. This is Levy's Commons in Toledo, Ohio. Just a normal shopping center, but I think what people really latched on to, again, was the way it looks mixed use. It's not actually mixed use. Those are actually fake windows. But what it gives you is that feel of a hometown, downtown character that I think people really like. Again, the sidewalks, the landscaping. It's not terribly expensive development as far as the buildings. It's not a metal building, actually. Some of it is a metal building. It just has nicer facades. But again, this is a lot closer to the grasp of White House than you may think initially. This is the site. I was standing on this corner, I believe, looking this way.
Yes.
So you see the boulevard feel, the on-street parking. It's not mixed use, but in this area, it doesn't give it justice. When I was there, it was absolutely full and packed. And the day before, they were having a bike race, and it was full and packed. So this is just I think it was quite overwhelming. Another view looking back behind it, it actually has a very wide range of multifamily behind it, from fairly affordable town apartments to rather expensive townhomes. Just another view of the site. And here's what people didn't really care for so much. Now I want you to look at the monitor view because it really is as bad as you might think. This is in Midtown Houston. People didn't seem to like the paint job or the architecture or, well, anything. I'm not even sure they like the fact that's at the picture. I'm going to show the aerial photo. I was standing right about here looking at this. I made the comment last month or at the beginning of the month, this is full. People are buying them, but people didn't like it for White House. So this is not the direction that the participants wanted to go. Just another view. I suppose it's not ugly, but it is ugly. You could convince me that maybe there's some architectural qualities to it that might be appealing, but...
Well, somebody likes it.
So clearly, somebody likes it. Next example, this is in Fort Worth. And if you remember the office tower that had, when the tornado came through, when it blew all the glass out onto the street and caused a lot of injuries, this is the same building. And so they've reconfigured it to be residential. It's condo development and then some retail on the bottom. And you can see the grassy area. I don't know if you can really make it out, but that's actually grass and trees up there. And that's to address the falling glass problem. And so hopefully they won't have that again if that happens again. The aerial view. And not surprisingly, I don't think participants really felt like this was right for White House. Another one that didn't get too much of warm praise, even though I think it's creative, this is a Home Depot in Chicago. And again, you might want to just look at the colors on the monitor. But it's right on the street. They actually fit, once again, they fit into the theme of what the community wanted to see there. The form, anyway. People didn't seem to care for the modern architecture. It looks fairly Spartan. What were some of the other, from some of the people that were here, what were some of the other things that didn't jive?
They didn't like the box. They had very narrow sidewalk.
Right. Very narrow. This is the aerial view. Again, it's creative. The greenhouse and the lumber yard are up on the roof. You actually drive your car or your truck up there and they load it for you. Parking on the roof. Again, creative, but not necessarily right for White House. Another one that wasn't terribly well received, this is 6th Street in Austin. I don't honestly remember the name of this particular establishment, but people didn't so much object to the idea of having an open-air restaurant on a roof or having mixed use. I think that people actually liked the sidewalk and the streetscaping, but maybe this is better viewed in the dark, if you know what I mean. The architecture wasn't quite what people wanted to see for White House. This is the aerial view again. It does fit with some of the things that people wanted, the sidewalks, the streetscape feel, the mixed use. They liked that, but it just didn't work for them in terms of how it looked. They didn't want to see a parking. Nobody seemed to want to see a parking here. This is Meyerland Plaza in Houston.
If I go to the aerial, I don't have a really good view of the whole parking lot, but you can see, again, see a parking, typical big box. And we can translate this into just a typical restaurant. Respondents really wanted to see something that's a little more pedestrian. Maybe the brands are okay, but the form of the building and the form of the site, they wanted something a little more. Some of the complaints about this one, this is a former house that was turned into a business. I don't think people like the parking lot. The development didn't seem to enhance it at all. It just seemed to take a house, stick a parking lot on it, and a sign and say we're open for business. Just go to the aerial view. It's actually a very nice part of Houston. The building is right here on the street. I think it's this one. So you can see they're actually integrating into residential neighborhoods. Some of the buildings there did a much better job than others. I won't spend too much time on these because these are some of the same ones, but again, character, this is the highest rated character. So that's facades, that's the way it's done, not necessarily what is done. Fresno, New Mexico again. Arlington, Virginia once again. Something I didn't mention a few minutes ago, this is literally two blocks away from a metro stop and 15-story buildings. But when you're walking around in this neighborhood, you feel like you're in Mayberry, other than the cars are near. You don't hear the traffic. You don't feel like you're being enclosed by big, intense development. So this is something we probably need to think about when we're dealing with transitioning from the town center into the residential areas. Levy's Commons again. BK once again. People like that. The park in Bel Air again. People like that. This is Celebration Disney. And since this was character, people really seem to latch on to the architectural style of it. The big full-growth trees, the brick pavers on the sidewalk. Were there some other things that people really that I'm forgetting? Go to the aerial photo. This is the building right here on the corner. I realize the people on the dais can't see when I do the laser. But this is the building, and I was standing over here. Really good example of what I was talking about earlier. The parking's in the middle. And these buildings, the back facades aren't terribly exciting. The developers didn't spend a whole lot of money on the back sides of the buildings. They spent the money on the front and the street. But where they did put a little money in is the alleyways, the connections from the parking lot to the front. They're very wide open. They feel very safe. They're comfortable, appealing. I was here on a Sunday morning, and the restaurants were full. The retail was actually bustling. I don't know what it's like year round. This was developed by the Walt Disney Corporation. It's not Disney World. People actually live and work here. But it was developed by Walt Disney. Back to Levy's Commons again. And the bottom character. No big shock. Once again, didn't really care for this skyscraper feel. This is Pennsylvania Avenue. So the White House is just down this street. Some of the complaints on this one, I don't think the architecture really was very appealing. Again, just somewhat barren feeling, even though it is urban. Urban can feel good, but this was a little too barren. It is another example of how you can get a national brand into a different shape box. That's a CVS pharmacy. The aerial photo. So I was standing... I'm able to do it from here. I was standing right here in this round dome building here looking at the wider building. Again, the same picture from Bel Air, same picture from Austin, same picture from Chicago. Okay, so let's go back to the... So what we're going to do now is actually start thinking about how this applies to White House. We have two questions we have to answer when it comes to study area. Number one, what are the overall boundaries of this mixed-use town center that we're looking at? And number two, are we going to actually split this up? Is it going to be all one district? Or do we want to look at maybe having two different districts or three different districts? You want to go ahead and do this? So this purple here, this is what we identified during the comprehensive plan as the town center study area. And we'll zoom in a little bit here in a minute once we start thinking about it more. But again, just to give you a feel, Wildcat Drive is here. This is Brown Elementary.
This is City Hall right here. The railroad track. Are you able to see it okay up there?
I'm missing the dot. Can you see it? How do you see it? You're going.
There we go. Can you see that there? It's not very bright. But Michael pointed out as I talked.
It's bigger.
So while they're going over that, again, the brown site, this is the city, this is where we are right now. The duplexes that are the rainbow duplexes, that's the boundary over here. This is Heron Street, so the auto place is here. This is a church, CVS, Verizon is here, and then pharmacy's here. Rockmore is here. Austin Bank. So you start to see what currently is in, what currently is out. So I'll ask you two questions first, and maybe this is something you push and you say, you tell us what you think, or maybe it's something we talk about. How do we feel about having one district or two districts? I'll give you an example of the second district. We might have a district that's primarily mixed use, so it's residential and commercial. We might have another district that's primarily residential to buffer the town center from the existing residential. So it would still be single-family homes, most likely, but as long as developers could fit into a certain format and mediate the problems that they would bring to the neighborhoods, they might be able to do some other things there. So in that case, we'd have a very low-intensity town center district that's mainly residential and a higher-intensity town center district that's the mixed use. I'll let that just fester one moment. So one of the areas we might talk about having two districts, just to use another example, if you look at Heron Street, I'm going to point for me, you might point up there. This is Heron Street. We have some awkward situations here. We've got some of the older homes that are turning into commercial. The flower shop is an old example that got converted. The vet with the grooming salon is there. The old gas station. So you have sort of an awkward mix here. I could see this whole block possibly going into a town center district. This row of houses, that's one where I could see being that residential town center district. So we're saying we see it mostly staying residential at some point, but when those houses get redeveloped in 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, whatever it happens to be, let me stress that. We're not talking about knocking anybody's business or home over here. We're saying at some point when it develops, when it redevelops, they'll come in under this ordinance. But those houses might be a little bit different format when they come back in. So they'll be a little more like the town center, a little closer to the road, a little bigger, maybe two stories perhaps, that sort of thing. Let's go south. Just move the map south. So this is another area, south on Heron, again, where we might see this center area here being the town center district, where it's mostly mixed use, mostly commercial, and we might see the houses that are on the other side. Again, probably staying houses, but having the ability to flip at some point into something that still respects that residential feel, but is more like the town center. So just gut reaction, what do you think? Do we want to think about that having two different districts, or do we want to try to keep it all the same? I see I've overwhelmed you with possibilities.
You know, it'd be nice to have the buffer, but if you look at the problem you can run into, you look at this south area.
Right.
On the west side of that is how, well, mostly houses up and through there. Mm-hmm.
But there's
behind those, between there and Willingham, right, is commercial.
Right.
So you got commercial, residential, commercial.
And you've got a lot of land there. If we start lopping off parts of this thing, we start losing more town center. So maybe what we do, if you look at the dark area beyond here, when we were in the comprehensive plan, I'm south, Mike, right here. When we were talking about the comprehensive plan, we classified that as high-density residential in the future with the idea that it would be more compatible with the town center. So maybe rather than hack away at the purple that we have here, we think about expanding the town center to have that high-intensity residential that does exist currently as perfectly viable homes as being that other district where people would have more flexibility. Again, we're just making really sure that we protect that neighborhood while it's still a neighborhood. So that's another option. Any more comments? If we don't come to a conclusion tonight, I'll take the comments and bring back recommendations next time. So don't feel like you have to say something if you don't feel strongly about it.
I don't think you would necessarily have to have two different zones. I think the mixed use all over is going to provide a better opportunity for all people to do whatever they want to do within the confines of these ordinances.
So keeping that one mixed use in purple?
Yeah, it's existing for. I think if you go in and cut it up into two sections, I think this is a rather radical move for.
Can we turn on the existing zoning? What we're going to do now is I'm going to turn on the existing zoning. Let's also kill the aerial.
Also, think y'all stay in one district. Y'all all do the same mixed use. Yeah, I think y'all would stay in the district further north.
Yeah, I understand.
Sorry.
I think I'll say one district, but I think they should go this further north than one team.
So actually expand. We'll get back. I want to come back to that. That's a good point. This is existing zoning, and if you look at, Mike can point it out up there, you're probably going to have to look at the monitor. But if you look at Herod right here, this is a commercial zone. This is we have commercial wrapping around the outside. And we have residential coming in here. So if we take that whole thing, that whole purple, we are going to be rezoning a lot of existing single-family residential in a mixed-use zone. Doesn't say they can't keep their house. We're not going to make it. At least that was not the direction I got from council, was not go knock people's houses down. But when it redevelops, have it be able to redevelop as what we want in the town center. So let's talk about expanding it. Can we go back to land use real quick? It was brought up that we might actually want to push this further up 110. How far would you think about taking? Acretat? Okay. So not.
Well, it's not far, but those like all that depth to them up through that.
Right.
That you can do something like you're working on a show.
Parking. Yeah. Another advantage, we constantly talk about at some point that railroad being something else, if that ever becomes commuter, if that ever becomes a trail, that would be really appealing to be able to have the town center backing up onto that area.
With that case, Larry, why wouldn't you go all the way to the other road? I said, why wouldn't you go all the way?
I think it would go from Mascom to fit in that whole area if it's there to Acretat, you know.
Why wouldn't you go further, though? That's what he's asking.
Well, I'm talking about going north. Why wouldn't you go all the way up to Leather Road north?
Consider one thing when we start talking about that. The ordinance we're going to put in place is not necessarily going to encourage things like a big Berkshire's to go. So if Berkshire's were to come in here, it could still come in here. That example we showed of Walmart would absolutely fit.
Berkshire's is here.
Right, but we're just talking about the next big box. That is, up to Lily Road, that is where your big box retail will probably come in at some point, particularly when 49 comes in. What about south? Do we want to think about pushing it south or east or west?
I think you're far enough south because you're really heavy residential.
Right. Right.
I would consider moving to the west.
If this just for future development, that's way you want to go out. I don't know where you want to go down the same all the way to the other road. I'm for it. I think it needs some direction.
Well, then one thing we can look at, if it's having a common aesthetic theme, since we are going to redo the entire zoning ordinance, we can look at ways to tie it all in together without saying it could have any mixed use or any mixed use. What I'll probably do then is, when we have our next meeting and people can see it more clearly, I'll bring back an option to take it up to Acretat. And we'll think about Lily Road when we get into the main zoning ordinance and how we tie it all in there together. Any movement to move it north, south, or not south, but east or west? Any thoughts there? One thing that might be awkward, Willingham, one side of Willingham is in the town center, and one side of Willingham is not. It's residential on the other side, but do we want to think about taking in both sides of Willingham? And that's down for everybody else. Willingham, right here.
Yeah, this
zone is. It's already
zoned. This side, yeah.
But I mean, you cut it somewhere. I mean, it's better to, I don't know, maybe cut that on the street since you're residential west of there than go in the middle of that block and cut it.
Right. Any strong feelings to change it? This is what the comp plan shows, so we can tweak it a little bit, but this was the general feel that this is where the town center should be, so I'm happy to leave it if there's no strong feelings other way. Do we have any more discussion up here?
We do. I'll tell you what it is. Existing zoning whereas the general business
right.
will most likely, I'd say you got a 99% chance, it's going to continue to be a commercial, retail, general business, or a business type zoning. And the town center is going to be business type zoning, but it's going to be inside the area that is zoned for general business, for example. All we're doing with the town center is putting more, not necessarily restrictions, but you're going to have more guidelines on what's happening in the town center than you do in the area that's just zoned general business. The like at the corner of Willingham Road and 346, both corners there are already zoned for general business, and they will continue to be zoned for general business. But the east side of Willingham Road is going to be inside the town center. It will have guidelines that are a step above what is required for businesses in the general business zone.
I want to reiterate just a little bit. I agree with what you said. We don't have to get stuck on the general business, though, because we're going to be redoing it all.
Yes.
So when we say general business, in the town center, it's not general business of today plus a little more restrictiveness. It is in the town center, it'll be a new zoning district. It'll be a new zoning district entirely. But where we start to get out, I think we're going to have the most issues where we start to get outside of that central core area into the existing residential versus the existing general business. And that's where we will see this problem. So is your feeling that we really need to say that, that purple is a good boundary?
Yeah, unless you want to go up to Agnetown. Because the buildings on the right-hand side...
I think that's a great idea.
The buildings on the right-hand side of 110, with the exception of... Once you get past Austin Bank and the newspaper office and that part, those buildings have been there for a while. As you see commercial development in that part of town, it's probably going to be on that side of the road because you have the shopping center on the other side.
Right.
And if you take it any further, even if you took it all the way to Old Tyler Road, you're going to be taking in some older structures. We're probably be the first ones to go, first ones that are not having to make way for the new commercial development. So you might consider taking the habitat a little bit like you.
Okay. Well, next time we meet, I will come back with a map that shows the scenarios. I don't get a strong feel that we should go to two districts. Still feel that we should stick with the one. So unless there's objections, we'll do that. We'll have a pretty big chunk. I'm going to go ahead and give just a 5-minute recess, stretch your legs, we're going to come back and hit the code. And if we get out 8:30, we will. We'll see. So just about 5 minutes, and we'll come back and hit it again.